بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 49th session, reading from Fath Al-Qawi Al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, and the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be returning to the hadith that we began last week, hadith number 43, which is the first of 8 hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab to the 42 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi rahimahumullah. But before we go back to that hadith from last week, we want to take a quick look at some of the issues that we discussed last week. First question being, and this is questionnaire study guide for lecture number 48, modified. Any one question we didn't cover last week, that was the last question, which are the benefits. The benefits that were derived from this hadith, or two of them, and we didn't cover that last week, so we added it to the study guide for this week. Inshallah, it's going to be the first question we're going to deal with, left over from last week. But in any case, it's on the study guide for this week. The first question from the modified study guide is summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 43. The main topic or subject of hadith number 43. Now, Fadda Adam.
The foundation of the division of inheritance.
Anybody else? Now.
Inheritance, its rules, and who should receive it.
Okay, inheritance, the rules of inheritance, the guidelines, how it's divided up, and who is entitled to receive it. Anyone else? Right, so, the topic of the hadith from last week, it is inheritance. And some of the rules of the division or the shares and who is to receive them. We didn't go into a lot of detail. This is really an entire science in itself that requires a lengthy amount of time to cover in any kind of detail. But at least last week we laid the foundation to introduce the topic. And because we were unable to finish, alhamdulillah, Allah decreed that we have another chance to look at it, a second look. With a little more of what we covered last week, a little bit more of the details that hopefully will be helpful in creating interest in some of us, and perhaps being the impetus for us to take a look at this science, to know more about it. It's very, very important. Okay, so the second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi and the muhaddith in whose collection is found. The rawi of the hadith? Naam?
Talib?
Huh?
Ibn Abbas.
The rawi of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And the muhaddith in whose collection is found? Naam? It's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim in their authentic collections. Question number 3. Discuss the different expressions used by Imams and Nawawi and Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah to point to the sources of hadith, the different expressions that were used by Al Imam and Nawawi and Imam Ibn Rajab to point to the sources of the hadith. Naam, Abdul Wali. Kharrajahu. Naam, Ibn Rajab uses the expression kharrajahu. Naam. Rawahu and Rawahu. Naam. He used both of those expressions, and Imam Nawawi used the expression, and the second of them, Rawahu. And the Shaykh, he says that, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, he says that, there's no difference between these expressions. The meaning of them, of each of them, is the same. The fourth question, what is meant by Al-Fara'id in the statement? Give Al-Fara'id. Al-Hiqu Al-Fara'id bi ahliha. Give Al-Fara'id to those who are entitled to receive them. What is meant by al-fara'id in this expression? What is meant by al-fara'id? Naam.
Obligatory.
The obligatory.
Is it a fixed
portions?
The obligatory fixed portions that are mentioned, that are specified in the Quran. Yani the fixed portions of inheritance that have been specified as fixed portions in the Quran. And the Shaykh said, he went on to say that what is intended by this after he said that, and he said that there are six portions that are mentioned in the Quran, and he went on to say those fixed portions, what is intended by faraid, those fixed portions as well as what came along with them in the Quran, any portions that are not fixed. There are some portions that are not fixed. A person is entitled to an obligatory yani inheritance, but it's not fixed amount. Sometimes it may be more, sometimes it may be less, and so on. None. So what is intended by faraid, yani first and foremost, are those fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran, and then what is intended by it also are those portions, yani the Shaykh says, that which came along with it, yani of the inheritance that is not fixed. It's not fixed. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. List al-faraid or al-furud, the shares which are specifically mentioned in the Quran. Al-faraid or the furud, the fixed portions that are specifically mentioned in the Quran. Six of them. Now,
two-thirds,
one-third, and one-sixth. Two-thirds and half of it, one-third and half of it, one-sixth. The other three?
One-half.
Uh-huh, yes.
One-half.
One-fourth.
One-eighth.
And one-eighth. Now, one-half and half of it, one-fourth, and half of it, one-eighth. Jazakallah khair, mashallah. Fayyum, this is good. Yani, this is really from the most important things that we're going to learn about inheritance if we have a chance to study it in the future. And what are the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran? And there are six. And it's not that difficult for us to learn them. Question number six. Where can one find the foundations of the Islamic rules of al-mawarif, inheritance, besides in this hadith? Besides this hadith. Where else can one find? Yani, what other source can we go to find the foundations, the fundamentals of the rules of inheritance in Islam? Where can we find them? Now. In the Quran. We can find them in the Quran. The Shaykh specifically mentioned that they can be found in what surah in the Quran? Huh?
Surah
An-Nisa. Yani the ayats, which ayats?
11 and 176.
11 and 176? Three ayats, right? Huh? And 12 and 176. Yani the core of the guidelines or instructions for the division of inheritance is found in those three ayats in the Quran. And all the people who have obligatory fixed shares are mentioned there. Everyone is mentioned there. And what is their fixed share? Question number seven. What is the benefit of mentioning the word dhakar, that means male, after the word rajul, which means man? What is the benefit of mentioning the word male after the mentioning of the word man in this hadith? Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَمَا أَبْقَتِ الْفَرَائِدُ فَلِأَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ." What's the point of mentioning ذَكَرٍ after رَجُل? Now,
it is
emphasized
one who is of age and
that is a man. Little bit more.
It's not.
Huh? Yani it has something to do with,
child.
Huh? That?
Not a child.
That it's not a child? Okay, rajul would suggest that it's not a child. But zakar suggests that it can be a child.
Yeah.
So what's the point of mentioning zakar? The point is that if the mention is rajul alone, people would think it's only a grown adult person. Whereas when the Prophet ﷺ used the word zakar, this is to clarify that what is intended here, yani what it is based upon, is not being old or strong or a man, right? Rather what it is based upon is being a male, even if it is a grown man, an old man, or a young boy, yani male. That's the point of mentioning dhakar here after the mention of rajul, so that a person doesn't think it's only for grown men. Rather, even a child, a male, yani child is also comes under this ruling here. Question number eight, which was from the extra questions that wasn't from the Shaykh's discussion, mentioned three hukuk or rights connected to what is left behind by the deceased before distribution of the inheritance. Before the distribution of the inheritance, inheritance, there are three حقوق, or three rights connected to whatever he left behind that have to be dispensed with first before the inheritance is distributed. One. Naam.
The burial.
Yani the expense for the person's preparation, yani for his yani burial. Naam. Two.
Debts.
Yani if there were any debts left behind. And three. The bequeath. Yani if he left a wasiyah, yani up to one third of his wealth, those should be taken care of first, and whatever remains then will be divided according to the rules that yani are the rules of inheritance. Mention three reasons due to which a person is entitled to inherit. Three reasons due to which a person is entitled to inherit. Number one, first and foremost. Now,
blood relations.
Blood relations, nasab. And the second one?
Nikah.
Yani marriage relations. And the third one? Al-wala. Yani the person who has freed someone from slavery, that relationship entitles them in the absence of the other people who have first yani priority, entitles them to inheritance in the absence of the others. Question number 10, the final question. Mention three reasons due to which a person is not entitled to inherit. Three reasons due to which a person is not entitled to inherit. First and foremost, al-qatl. And he's a killer. The person who killed someone is not entitled to inherit from them. Second one, very important. Huh? Religious difference. Difference of religion. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, a Muslim does not inherit from a kafir, and a kafir doesn't inherit from a Muslim. And the last of them?
Slave.
The slave. Slavery. Yani, the person who's a slave, yani, what the slave and what the slave has all belongs to their owner. So if a slave was to inherit from a relative, it wouldn't go to the slave, it would go to their owner. So there's no inheritance for the slave. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week. And bismillah ta'ala, we're going to try to go into a little bit of detail of the breakdown of what this hadith indicates in terms of the two divisions of inheritance that are mentioned in the Quran. Yani those which are fixed portions and those which are not fixed portions. And who, yani, is entitled to those fixed portions and who is entitled to those portions which are not fixed. And, yani, basically just a little bit of that and then, yani, some other discussion surrounding this particular hadith that came from two other sources. So, first I want to remind us of the hadith. The hadith is the hadith of Ibn Abbas, yani Abdullah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألحقوا الفرائض بأهلها. يعني give the فرائض, the shares of inheritance that are prescribed and fixed in the Quran, to those who are entitled to receive it. فما أبقت الفرائض فلأولى رجل ذكر. Then whatever remains after those people who are entitled to the fixed prescribed portions in the Quran, if something remains, this should be given to the closest or the nearest male relative of the deceased. And Imam Ibn Rajab says, kharrajahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Yani this hadith is collected by yani al-Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Okay, so before we go into the discussion for today, I just want to finish what we left from last week first, so we don't forget about that. And that is the benefits that are derived from this hadith. The Shaykh mentions as the fifth point of his explanation of this hadith, point number five, مِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Yani from that which we might benefit from this hadith is, and he mentions three things. Yani the first two of them are very important for us to remember, and the third of them may be a little difficult, that's why we only ask for two of the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned. The third one, yani, is a little bit detailed. So the first point he mentions, كمال الشريعة واشتمالها على قواعد كلية عامة. Yani the perfection of the law of Allah, the Sharia, Allah's Sharia, its perfection. And that it is composed of قواعد كلية عامة. And it's composed of principles that are, yani, all-inclusive. And that are general. Yani so that they cover everything that is involved. And this as and this is, the Shaykh says, كَمَا جَاءَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Yani in this hadith, we have a small amount of words, less than 10 words, in which the Prophet ﷺ has given us a qaida, that is, يعني qaida kulliya. Yani it includes everything that's related to the rules of inheritance in just a few words. Yani the two types of inheritance, that which has fixed portions mentioned in the Quran, and that which is also obligatory but are not fixed portions mentioned in the Quran. The second point, he says, taqdeem man yaritha bil fard, yani given preference to those who inherit by the fard, yani the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran. فَيُعْتَ مِرَاثَهُ, so these people are given their inheritance. وَمَا بَقِيَ يَكُونُ لِمَنْ يَرِثْ بِغَيْرِ تَقْدِيرٍ, and then whatever remains will be given to those who inherit بِغَيْرِ تَقْدِيرٍ, yani without having a fixed portion, without their portions, they are obligated, I mean they have the right to receive the inheritance, but their portions are not fixed to a specific amount, such that sometimes they might get more, and sometimes they might get less, and even sometimes they might not get anything. So there are obligatory, yani, amounts of inheritance that are fixed in the Quran, and then there are those which, yani, are not fixed to one specific amount. And this hadith indicates both of them. In the first part of the hadith, yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, yani, give the fara'id, yani, the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran, to those who are entitled to receive it. In the second part of the hadith, he mentions whatever is remaining should be given to the nearest male relative. And again, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail today. The third point is, based upon this hadith and this discussion that we have had concerning this hadith last week, the Shaykh says, يَكُونُ الرَّاجِي فِي مَسْأَلَةِ الْجَدِ وَالْإِخْوَى اِخْتِصَاصُ الْجَدِ بِالْمِرَاثِ دُونَ الْإِخْوَى. Yani, the stronger opinion, yani there's difference of opinion concerning this issue, but الرَّاجِي فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ, yani the issue of the grandfather and brothers, when they came together as inheritors, the correct, the more stronger opinion concerning them is that the grandfather is the one who takes the inheritance to the exclusion of the brothers. The grandfather takes it all. There's a difference of opinion about this, and the Shaykh says this is al-rajih. It is the stronger preponderant opinion. And this is because, the reason why this is the stronger opinion, لِأَنَّهُ, يعني الجد, the grandfather, لِأَنَّهُ أَصْلٌ, because he is, yani from the usul, yani the source, the person came from their father and their grandfather, as opposed to the furu', yani those who came from the person, their children, and as opposed to al-hawashi, yani the siblings, brothers and sisters, okay? So there's the source, the person came from their parents, there's their children, and then there are siblings. And so he says that the reason why the grandfather gets the inheritance is because he's the asl. Wal-ikhwa yarithuna kalala, and brothers only inherit in the case of kalala, that is the person who dies and doesn't leave parents or children. They didn't leave parents or children, then the brothers can inherit. But there's a parent here, there's the grandfather, and therefore he takes the inheritance. That's what the Shaykh says. He says, so the grandfather is like the father. He's from the usul, he's like the father, so he alone takes the inheritance to the exclusion of the brothers. He says also, يَكُونُ الرَّاجِي تَقْدِيمَ الْإِخْوَى لِأُمْ عَلَى الْإِخْوَى أَشِقَّى فِي مَسْأَلَةُ الْمُشَرَّكَةِ. Yani the مَسْأَلَةُ مُشَرَّكَةِ is also known as حِمَارِيَة or حَجَرِيَة. And he says that in this issue, there's also difference of opinion. He says the stronger opinion is that the إِخْوَى لِأُمْ, yani those brothers who share the same mother, not the same father, but they just share the same mother, that they have preference and precedence over those brothers who share the same father and mother. The brothers who share the same mother have preference over the brothers who share the same father and mother in this issue where they both came together. And that is because the brothers who share the same mother, they inherit by fard. Yani their portion is specifically mentioned in the Quran. And the hadith under discussion says what? The people who have the fara'id, the furud, they should be given theirs first. If anything's left, then the other people who inherit by the second matter, the second manner, which is ta'asib, then they get theirs. So here the Shaykh is saying what? That the brothers who share the same mother inherit by the fard, and they have precedence, they get theirs first, and ashiqa, the brothers who have the same mother and father, inherit by ta'asib, And they only get a portion if there's something left after the people who have defarred get theirs. And that's the core meaning of this hadith. That the people who have fixed portions get theirs first. If there's something left, then the other people get it. So he says that the one who is entitled to the fard, he is given his fard. And those who inherit by ta'asib, yani from what is left, then if there's anything left after the fard, then they take it. Otherwise, if there's nothing left, they don't get anything. So these are the points that the Shaykh made from the benefits of this hadith. And we'll end with that from last week's discussion. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to take some notes from a couple of other sources. One of the sources is a source that perhaps we're going to be using in the remaining hadith. It is an explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, including the extra hadith that were added by Ibn Rajab. Most of the scholars that we were quoting from up until now, from the 42 hadith of Imam Nawawi, they only explained, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, and other scholars mostly only explained the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. So those explanations are finished. So we're going to look for some other sources now, and from amongst those sources is this explanation by Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Al-Dahsh. And he is an instructor, a teacher, professor at the Islamic University of Jamiat Muhammad Ibn Saud in Qasim. In Qasim, he's a teacher there in the Division of Islamic Studies, specifically the Department of Tafsir. And he's a specialist. His area of specialty is Usuluddin and Tafsir. So he has an explanation. It's not a published explanation, but in any case, it was the oral explanation, and somebody wrote it out. So we're going to be reading a little bit from time to time as much as we can from his explanation. That is Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Al-Dahsh. And he is, may Allah protect and preserve him, he was, and without going into a lot of detail for the sake of time, he was one of the outstanding leading students of Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen. He was one of his leading students, and he's one of the three students who took over the teaching in the big masjid in Qasim after the Shaykh passed away. So he is one of his leading students, and he is a professor at the Islamic University in Qasim, Imam Muhammad Ibn Saud. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit from his explanation, and the rest of it I'm going to read from the explanation of this hadith in Bulughul Maram from Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz. From his explanation of this hadith in Bulughul Maram. So first I'm going to read from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Dash, and he says, he has any somewhat lengthy explanation. We're going to just read a few points from it. He mentions the hadith from Ibn Abbas that the Prophet ﷺ said, give the fixed shares of inheritance to those who are entitled to receive, and whatever remains after those fixed shares, then it should be given to the nearest or closest male relative. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He says in this hadith, Al-Hiqu, Al-Hiqu, Al-Fara'id bi-ahliha. He said, Al-Hiqu means A'atu al-Fara'id ahliha wa ta'abir bi-al-Haq yadullu ala i'ta al-Mubadar fihi. He said that the meaning of Al-Hiqu means to give those people who are entitled to those fixed shares, their portion. And the use of this word suggests that it means to do it quickly. Hasten in doing it. Don't delay. People are entitled to inheritance. Somebody has died. As soon as it's clarified what they have left and the divisions are identified or specified or worked out, the people should be given their inheritance without delay. And he says that al-fara'id is the plural of fariida. And what is intended by al-fariida is an-nasib al-muqaddar, a portion that is fixed, that has been fixed for the inheritor. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that which has been left behind, after a person dies, he has made it to be divided up amongst their inheritors, bi qismatin ilahiyya. That it is a division that has been made by Allah Himself, divine division. This is not like the laws of the state and the federal government and other countries or whoever made up laws of inheritance. These rules of inheritance, this division, these amounts are fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they have been made obligatory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why they're called al-fara'id. The Shaykh then says, we must know that al-fara'id التي هي الأنسبة المقدرة لوارث أنها في كتاب الله عز وجل ستة الفرائض. يعني that we should know that these fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran for the person who is inheriting, the person who has died, that there are six. And we begin with the biggest of them, that is two-thirds. And then, yani, the next biggest is one-half. And then one-third, and one-fourth, and one-sixth, and one-eighth. And then the Shaykh says, and this is very important, he says, وَأَهْلُ الْفَرَائِدْ مَحْسُورُونَ وَجُمْلَتُهُمْ هُمْ. Yani, the people who are entitled to the fixed portions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has limited them to certain people. And he mentions who are those people that are entitled to fixed portions. Al-Walidan, yani the two parents. And along with them, in their place, in their absence, are the two grandparents. Al-Walidan, and in their place, if the father is not there, the grandfather takes his place. If the mother is not there, the grandmother takes his place, her place. Wa-Zawjan, the spouses, yani the husband or wife. Al-Bint wa Bint al-Ibn, yani the daughters, the daughter of the deceased or the granddaughter from the deceased son, as opposed to the granddaughter from the deceased daughter. The daughter and the granddaughter from the deceased son. And then he mentions al-Shaqiqa wal-Ukht li-Ab, yani al-Shaqiqa, two sisters, the sister that has the same mother and father as the deceased, and the sister who only has the same father. And then he mentions awlad al-um, yani that is the children who share the same mother, yani boys and girls who have the same mother. So he have what? Al-walidan, the two parents and grandparents, that's four. Al-zawjan, the spouses, the six. The two daughters, the bint, yani the daughter and the granddaughter from the son, that's eight. And the two sisters, the shaqiqa, who have the same mother and father, and the one who shares the same father. And then awlad al-um. Awlad al-um means the sons and daughters who share the same mother. He said, these, ha'ulai hum ahlul fara'id. And an easy way to remember them, as the Shaykh mentioned them, walidan, two, right? And two grandparents, zawjan, two spouses, bintan, yani two daughters, the daughter and the granddaughter from the son. And two sisters, the shaqiqa, the sister who has the same mother and father, and the sister that has the same father, and then the awlad al-um. The point here is what? That there are specific people who have specified fixed portions of inheritance mentioned in the Quran. They are limited to these people, that's it. These are the people who have fixed portions mentioned in the Quran. So it is not permissible to give any portion, a fixed portion, to anyone other than one of these people that have been mentioned. And it's not permissible to skip over them, to leave any of these people out, yani if the situation arises where their fixed portion comes into play. والمقصود أن الله جعل الفرائض مقدرة وجعل أهلها أيضا مقدرين. Yani what is important here is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fixed portion, He has made the portions that people received, He fixed them. They are specific. And He also specified who are the people who are to receive it, who are to receive these fixed portions. The second point that I want to make from the Shaykh, and then we'll go to yani the discussion from Bulugh al-Maram, is the Shaykh says, so if you look, if you notice, the people that we mentioned, mostly all of them are females. And not included in those mentioned are the brother and the son. Males, the brother of the deceased and the son of the deceased are not mentioned here. The Shaykh says, do they not also? Are they not also entitled to receive? And he said, the discussion concerning them is in what remains from the second part of the hadith. And if we have given the fara'id, the fixed portions, to those entitled to receive it, those who we have mentioned were mostly females, except the husband and the father and the grandfather, so on, like this, and the brother, the son who shares, and the brother who shares the same mother, the rest of them are all females. He said, if we have given those their fixed portions, فَمَا أَبْقَتِ الْفَرَائِدُ فَلِأَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ, then what remains after those fixed portions have been given to those who are entitled to them, what remains goes to the nearest male relative. So now he says, from this, from these two parts of the hadith, it becomes clear to us that the inheritors, عندنا ورثة غير أهل الفرائض, the inheritors are not only those who are getting the fixed portions, but they are also those, there are others who are not getting fixed portions And they are those who are mentioned in the statement, يعني فلي أولى رجل ذكر. So there are two يعني groups of people. فهذا ما يسمي بعض العلماء الإرث بالتعصيب. بالتعصيب. يعني this is what some scholars call inheritance by تعصيب, as opposed to the inheritance by فرض, those fixed يعني portions that are mentioned in the Quran. These are not fixed. What is intended, he said here, is يرث من الميت بلا تقدير, that these people, they inherit from the deceased without having a fixed amount, without having a fixed amount. Yani, like those fixed amounts that we mentioned, 1/2 or 1/4 or 1/8 or 1/2 or 1/3 or 1/6, those are fixed amounts for these people. These people, they inherit without having a fixed amount. وَهَذَا يَعْنِي أَنَّ نَصِيبُهُ قَدْ يَزِيدْ وَقَدْ يَنْقُصْ وَقَدْ يَسْكُتْ أَحْيَانًا فَلَا يَكُونُ لَهُ شَيْءٍ لِأَنَّ إِرْثَهُ بِلَا تَقْدِيرٍ. So this means that these people who inherit by ta'asib, he said sometimes their amount that they receive might increase, and sometimes it might decrease, and sometimes they may be left out completely and they don't get anything because they don't have a fixed portion that they have to get. Sometimes they'll get more, sometimes they'll get less, sometimes they won't get anything. The Shaykh says, and then I'll stop with this, he says, هذا الحديث تضمن نوعي الإرث. This hadith includes both types, the two types of inheritance. الحرث بالفرض, الإرث بالفرض, والإرث بالتعصيب. So this hadith, yani under discussion, it includes both types of inheritance, that is, the inheritance by fard, yani fixed portions mentioned in the Quran, والإرث بالتعصيب, yani those who have portions that are not, they have a right to receive inheritance, but their portion is not fixed. Their portion is not fixed. And then he has some other discussion, but yani for the sake of time, I think that was yani the most important thing that helps us a little bit to understand some of what we talked about last week in this particular hadith. Yani the fact that the inheritance is by fixed portions and portions that are not fixed, and then yani the people who it is limited to receive the fixed portions. And in the Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz rahimahullah, in his discussion of this hadith, explanation of hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, and he mentions the people who received the portions that are not fixed. And we want to start with that. In his explanation of this hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, he mentions the hadith, and he says that this hadith is an asl, and it's a fundamental, a foundation in this subject of ilm al-mawarif, yani the science of inheritance. And then he mentions the hadith, yani of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give to yani the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Quran to those who are entitled to receive it, and whatever remains after that is for the nearest male relative. He said in some of the narrations of this hadith, it has أَقْسِمُ al-mal بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْفَرَادِ, yani divide up, specifically yani clearly saying divide up yani the wealth between the أَهْلِ الْفَرَادِ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, as it is mentioned in the book of Allah, فَمَا أَبْقَتْ الْفَرَائِدْ فَهُوَ لِأَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرٍ. But then whatever remains after those fixed portions have been given, then it is for the nearest male relative. خَرَّجَهُ الشَّيْخَان, yani it has been collected by a shaykhan, that is shaykhan, the two shaykhs, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The shaykh says, فَقَدْ بَيِّنَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ الْعَظِيمِ أن الواجب, yani that which is this magnificent hadith has yani made clear to us that what is obligatory in the division of the inheritance, that it is obligatory to divide the inheritance amongst the people أهل الفرائد, and that we begin with them, the people who have fixed portions, and then whatever remains will be given to the عصبة. Yani the other group of people that's mentioned in the end of this hadith, if something remains, is given to the nearest male relative. These are called the asaba. Wal asaba muwaddahun fi kitabillahi wa fi sunnati rasulihi alayhi salatu wassalam. And this, the asaba, those who received unfixed portions, but they have a right also to receive the inheritance whenever their turn came, has been made clear to us in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. فمن قدر له مال فَهُوَ صَعَبَ الْفَرْضِ. So whoever their portion has been fixed, then this is the one, he is the one who is صاحب الفرض. He is the one who gets the فرض. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُقَدْرَ وَهُوَ مَنْسُوسَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْوَرَثَ فَهُوَ صَعَبَ التَّعَصِيبِ. So those who have fixed portions, this is what we call صاحب الفرض. The one who has that, yani fixed, regulated, specific amount. And those who do not have a fixed amount, but he is from amongst those who have been specifically mentioned as being an inheritor, then this is, these are the people we call sahib at-ta'asib, the people who get the, yani what remains. And these people, he said, are like the father and the grandfather and the son and the son of the son, the grandson from the son, and the brothers, yani who have the same mother and father, or just the same, yani mother. وَبَيْنَهُمْ, or maybe he means, yeah, الْإِخْوَ لِلْأَبْ, yani the one who have the brothers who have the same father and mother, and brothers who have the same father, and their children, and the uncles from the father's side, the father's brothers, and their children. These, he said, are the عَصَبَة, yani the father and the grandfather, the son and the grandson from the son, and the brothers who have the same father and mother, and who have the same father and their children, and the uncles from the father's side, paternal uncles, and their children. These are the asaba. And then he said, and after that is the wala. And remember we said that there are three reasons why a person will inherit, and the first of them is what? Yani nasab, and the second of them is nikah, marriage relations, and the third of them is wala. So also, if none of these people are present, the people who have fixed portions, and the people who receive what remains, if none of them are left, then the person who freed that person from slavery, if they left something, then that person comes into play next. Note again here that, like here, everybody who's mentioned here in the Asaba, they're all males. And most of who are mentioned in the Yani Faraid are mostly females. And there's some exception, yani, but mostly there are males who are the asaba, and there's some case in which a female might get that from that which remains as well. But the details of that, yani, is in our lengthy study when we take 1 year to do inheritance. Or we take 6-10 week course in our tafsir class on Monday to do inheritance. At some point, the other night, one of us, somebody has to do it. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, and this is a very important point, he gives some details here that will help us to understand a little bit better about the people who receive what is left behind. How do we determine who gets it? Who is first? And who has priority? And there are three ways, any three considerations that are looked at to determine who, any from whatever is left behind after the obligatory fixed portions, any who has first preference. هذا معنى الحديث. He said, this is the meaning of this hadith, أَلْهِقُوا الْفَرَاءِ بِأَهْلِهَا, and he give the fixed portions that are mentioned in the Qur'an to those who are entitled to receive it. And in another narration it says, divide up the wealth between the people who have fixed portions mentioned in the Book of Allah, and whatever remains should be given to the nearest male relative. لِي أَوْلَى رَجُلٍ ذَكَرًا. He says, يَعْنِي أَوْلَى, it means أَقْرَب. يَعْنِي أَوْلَى رَجُلٍ means أَقْرَب رَجُلٍ, nearest or closest male relative. أَوْلَى بِمَانَ أَقْرَب. أَوْلَى, its meaning is أَقْرَب. And that is because if there is something left behind and there is a need to know who is the first person, who is next in turn to receive it, who is أَحَقُّ, yani who is أَقْرَبُ, who is أَوْلَى, yani this is what is intended here. So here the scholars, yani they have explained that أَوْلَى means أَقْرَب, or أحق, the one who has the most right. This is the meaning of what came in the textual evidences. وهذا, يعني that this person is أولى, meaning أقرب, meaning they have the most right to receive that inheritance. أقرب إلى الشيء. فالأقرب, he said, إلى الميت هو الأولى, يعني the one who is nearest to the deceased person has more right to receive whatever is left behind. And in this way he said, so therefore the Ibn, the son, has more right than the son of the son. And if the son has more right than a grandson, and the grandson has more right than a great grandson, and he's akrab, And a grandson is nearer than a great-grandson, just like a son is nearer than a grandson. وَالْأَخْ أَوْلَى مِنْ إِبْنِ الْأَخْ. So the brother of the deceased is closer, is nearer, has more right than the son of a brother. And the am, the father's brother, has more right than the son of the uncle. And in this way he said, you give precedence. يُقَدِّمُ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْلَى جِهَةً أَوْ دَرَجَةً أَوْ قُوَّةً. Here the Shaykh mentions the three considerations of how you give precedence. You give precedence, who should get the what is left behind, he said. And who is, has the most right, he said. Who is nearest jihatan? Yani from which side they came? They are from the furu', children, usul, parents, hawashiya, siblings. Yani jihatan means yani who is closest to them in terms of the people around them. So sons, their children have first right. Parents come second. Siblings came third. That's jihad from that perspective. Are they from the furu' or the usul or the hawashi? They are from their children, they are from their parents or grandparents, or they are from their siblings. This is what he means by jihatan. So the way that we give precedence is first we look at the jihad, then we look at the daraja or the manzila, and then we look at the quwwa. The Shaykh says, so what is intended here is, and al-qaraba, yani the nearness to the deceased, takunu first bil jihad. Yani, so the father is given precedence over a brother. Son is given precedence over a father. From the perspective of jihad, the direction that they came from. وَالْأَخْ مُقَدِّمْ عَلَى الْعَامِ. So the brother, yani, from jihad, yani the direction that he comes from is closer than an uncle. Is closer than an uncle. In another place, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen and Shaykh, his teacher, Shaykh al-Sa'adi, have mentioned that there are five directions that we look at, and in terms of jihad, the first of them is the children, and then the parents, and then the siblings, and then the uncles, and then wala, and then wala. So he said, this is the first consideration, the jihad. Then he said, we look at the daraja. The daraja means the manzila, yani, how close are they in terms of the father, grandfather, child, grandson, that's the daraja or the manzila. So the am, the uncle, the father's brother, is muqaddim ala ibnihi. Yani from daraja, from manzila, the uncle is closer than somebody who came after him, the son of the uncle. And the akh ala ibnihi, and the brother of the deceased is closer than the next level, yani the son of a brother. Yani they're one level lower. And the ibn, ala ibnihi, and the son, yani, has the greater daraja or manzila than the son of a son. In terms of, they came after them. And then he says, the mu'tiq, ala ibni mu'tiq, yani the one who freed the person, has a higher daraja than the son of the one who freed the person. And so on like this. As far as the quwwa, he says, the strength of the relationship, it is like the shaqiq muqaddam ala ibni al-ab min al-ikhwa. Yani that the brother who's shaqiq, who has the same mother and father, has a stronger relationship than the son of the father from his brothers. Yani his brother who has the same father, but not the same father and mother. So the brother who has the same father and mother has a stronger relationship than the brother who just has the same father, and he also has a stronger relationship than their children and the uncles and the sons of the uncles. So he said, in this way we give precedence from what is left behind, first looking at the consideration of jiha, are they children, parents, siblings, and so on, and then we look at yani daraja or manzila, are they yani the son or the son of the son or the son of the son of the son, like this, and then we look at the quwwa. The quwwa means yani the person, the brother, for example, who has the same father and mother, is stronger in their relationship than the brother who has only the same father or only the same mother. So this is a little bit of detail, yani, concerning those people, the second part of the hadith, those people who inherit by ta'asib. And then finally, in the introduction to this hadith, Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith in Bulugh Maram, He mentions a number of things. There are two points that are really of importance that I want to concentrate on, but I want to share a little bit of what else he said concerning this hadith. He begins by first saying that al-fara'id is, this word al-fara'id is alamun ala ilm al-mawarif. Yani it's a, fara'id is a proper name that's used to identify the science of inheritance. So it is said ilm al-fara'id. Yani this science is called ilm al-fara'id, the science of fara'id. Meaning ilm al-mawarif. Yani al-mawarif is inheritance. But ilm al-fara'id is a name that's used for the science of mawarif, inheritance. Yani ilm al-fara'id. It is called fara'id because Allah made it obligatory upon His worshippers. And He made them, it required to stick to this, yani, ruling that He made concerning this, and to act upon it as it came in the Book of Allah. And it's called, yani, in the Book of Allah, it's called faridatan. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ in Surah An-Nisa, the 11th ayah. And then He mentions the fard portions and the ta'asib, yani rules in this ayat, and then after that He says faridatan min Allah, yani that this is something that Allah has made obligatory. All of these, yani the portions that are fixed and those that are not fixed, all of them are obligatory. All of them are obligatory. But those that are fixed are called, yani the fard, and those that are not fixed are called ta'asib. Then the Shaykh, he says, the scholars later on, they began to refer to those who have fixed portions as fard and those who have unfixed portions as ta'asib. So they made the mirath, the inheritance, two divisions, the fard and the ta'asib. The fard is that which is fixed, specifically mentioned in the Quran, and the ta'asib are those who have unfixed portions that might increase or decrease and so on. The ta'asib are those who don't have fixed portions, the fard are those who have fixed portions like a half or two thirds and like this. Both of them, he said, are obligatory in the Book of Allah. And because all of it is obligatory, it's called ilm al-fara'id, or it may be called ilm al-mawarif. Then the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ ilm عَظِيم sharif. Yani this is a science that is very important. It is a noble, honorable science. كُلُّ النَّاسِ فِي حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهَا. All people are in need of this. All people are in need of this. وَلِهَذَا رُوِيَ أَنَّهُ نِصْفَ الْعِلْمِ. And for this reason, رُوِيَ, it has been reported, and this expression is used normally to indicate that there's some weakness in the narration. Instead of رَوَى, رُوِيَ, he said it has been reported for this reason, because of its importance, that this science is نِصْف الْعِلْمِ. It's half of all knowledge. والمقصود أن هذا العلم من العلوم العظيمة التي تعم الحاجة إليه ويعم نفعها للناس. So what is intended here? The point is what? That this knowledge is from the very, very important sciences. All people are generally in need of it. And the benefit is also general for everyone. Everyone benefits from it. فَكُلُّ بَلَدٍ وَكُلُّ قَرْيَةٍ وَكُلُّ قَبِيلَةٍ بِهَاجَةٍ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. And in every country, every land, every town, every village, every tribe, all people are in need of this knowledge, this science. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْمَوْتِ وَكُلُّ قَوْمٍ فِيهِمْ الْمَوْتِ. The reason why everyone is in need of it is because this science is connected to, it's related to death. And there's no people except that amongst them is death. And for this reason, and I'm not reading from the Shaykh now, I'm just making a comment here. For this reason, as we looked at this hadith last week, and I began to think about it during the week before the class last week, I realized that how important this knowledge is, in spite of the importance of it, very few people know about it. And that was one of the reasons why I felt a need to read what the Shaykh said in its detail, even if I felt it would be overwhelming, but I thought that at least maybe it would create in us a desire to understand what is this all about. And as I thought about it, I realized that in 8 years before I came here to Philadelphia in New York, maybe only two or three people that I knew of asked. People that I knew, students of knowledge, about inheritance. And how do I divide up the inheritance of the deceased in my family? And it was so uncommon that anyone asked this question until it was almost as though it wasn't something that people wanted to know about or needed to know about. Which indicated or suggested at least, and Allah knows best, that perhaps we are not dividing up the inheritance from those who died amongst us according to the law of Allah. If people are not asking questions, it means they already know. And that's not likely. That's not likely. The Shaykh, and I'm closing with this, the Shaykh says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِأَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ الْإِنَايَةُ بِهِ لِأَمْرَيْنِ. Therefore it is incumbent upon the people of knowledge to give care to this knowledge for two reasons. أَحَدُهُمَا مَا يُرْوَى أَنَّهُ يُنْزَعُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ وَالْوَاقِعُ شَاهِدٌ لِذَلِكَ. The first reason why the people of knowledge, the scholars and the students of knowledge, why they must give care and attention, the first reason is because of what has been reported, that this will be the first, that this knowledge would be removed in the end of time. In the last days, people wouldn't know about the knowledge of inheritance, and the Shaykh says, وَالْوَاقِعُ شَهَدٌ لِذَلِكَ. And our present reality bears witness to that. That in this day and time, people don't know about inheritance. The second reason, he said, وَالْأَمْرَ الثَّانِي. And why the people of knowledge, the أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ, why they have to give care and attention to this, he says, شِدَّةُ الْحَاجِ إِلَيْهِ. Because of the severe, dire need of this knowledge. People are dying. People are leaving wealth behind. How is it being distributed without this knowledge? This is not something you can just guess. I got an idea, I think it's like this or that. No, it doesn't go like that. This is a meticulous science. And I don't want to compare it to chemistry or geometry or trigonometry. Because this is a divine science. But those are sciences that are meticulous. And this is equally, if not more meticulous, it's definitely more important. It's definitely more important. شِدَّةُ الْحَاجَ إِلَيْهِ. This is the second reason why attention must be given to this knowledge, because of the severe, dire need of knowing this. وَأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَحْتَاجُونَ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ مَنْ يُقَسِّمُ بَيْنَهُمْ مَوَارِثَهُمْ. And that the Muslims, all over the earth, anywhere you may go, are in need. فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. In every place, Muslims are in need of the one who divide up their inheritance for them. Because nobody knows how to do it. None of us know how to do it. That means we need that somebody knows, so that when somebody dies and they leave something behind, the way Allah has legislated it, that inheritance will be distributed properly, that the people who have a right to it will get it in the accordance with the amount that Allah has prescribed for them. And then the Shaykh says, and this is the end of what he says, فَوَجَبَ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يُعْنُوا بِهِ وَأَنْ يَجْتَهِدُوا فِي اتِّقَانِهِ حَتَّى لَا يَغْلِطُوا فِيهِ إِذَا احْتَاجَ إِلَيْهِ الْمُسْتَفْتُونَ. So it is obligatory upon the people of knowledge to give care and attention to this knowledge, and to make an effort to strive to perfect this knowledge, to know it well, so that they will not make a mistake when the people are in need of coming to somebody for a fatwa on how to divide up their wealth. So that they will not make a mistake. It's important that care be given to perfect this knowledge. The people of knowledge must strive to perfect this knowledge, so that when somebody came to them asking them how to divide up this wealth, they will not make a mistake. And give something to someone who doesn't have a right to it. Which means that the person who has the right to it is being denied their right. And on Yawmul Qiyamah, this will be asked about. And this is what we wanted to cover for tonight. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have 5 minutes left in our hour. So if there's a question, inshallah, we can take it. Correction first, question, comment, naam, fadl.
I don't recall you mentioned in the third tasheed, you mentioned jahad and darja.
And kuwa. Jiha means, yani, which direction? Yani, are they from the parents, the children, the siblings? Manzila or daraja means, are they the child or the grandchild or the great-grandchild or the father or the grandfather or the great-grandfather, their level? And kuwa means the strength of the relationship. Yani, the brother who has the same mother and father as the deceased has a stronger relationship than the brother of the deceased who only shares the same father, who only shares the same mother. So there's first, what? The first one we looked at is what? Jiha. And the second one? Manzila or daraja. And the third one? Kuwa. So these are some details, and there are lots of details like this in the science of inheritance. This is just a taste that hopefully will inspire in us a desire to know more about this very, very important science. And perhaps, yani, we could be some of the people that might be able to help a person when somebody dies and they have left something behind. We might be able to help them, at least direct them and give them the general information so that they can, yani, get the details from the person who's the specialist in this area. Now, any other question or comment?